السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الرحمن علم القرآن، خلق الإنسان علمه البيان. صدق الله. الحمد لله، أنت تذكر من إحسانك الله تعالى، الله رب العزة allowed for us to sit in his house for a short while, make some muzakara of some aspect of this beautiful deen that Allah Ta'ala has blessed us with. Furthermore, Allah Ta'ala has blessed us that we are in the company of senior ulama of your town, Imam Sahib, and Ibrahim Sahib. Allow for their use to benefit us as well. The ayat that we have recited, I think even the small children also, they are acquainted with the surah Ar-Rahman. Everybody wants to read Ar-Rahman. And when it comes to Taraweeh time also, the Habishah was performing Taraweeh, and his hissa comes in Ar-Rahman. That he also, mashallah, transforms into something else. During the rest of the Taraweeh, he couldn't really hear much. When it comes to Ar-Rahman, then he hears everything. In this surah, Allah Ta'ala mentions, فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. That ayat al-kareema, فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ, it appears 31 times in the surah. Allah Ta'ala is asking, in which of the favors of your Rabb do you deny? The question is rhetorical. In other words, how can you deny any favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We have to accept that everything that we have, even the blinking of our eyes, every step we take, every breath we take, every morsel we eat, everything is a bounty from Allah. There is nothing that is our own. Everything is a ni'mat, it is a bounty from Allah. So this whole surah, Allah Ta'ala mentions bounties, and then Allah Ta'ala asks, which of the favors of your Rabb do you deny? And Allah Ta'ala starts off the surah with Ar-Rahman. So he is mentioned in the tafsir of the surah that the Quraysh of Makkah Mukarramah, while they were still idolaters, so they obviously were hearing the Muslims using this sifat of Allah Ta'ala, Ar-Rahman. So they used to say, Man Rahman. But who is this Rahman? You don't know who is Rahman. Even when Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, on the occasion of Sulh Hudaybiyah, when he told Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu to write Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, so they took objection to that. But Rahman and Rahim, we don't know who this is. So they used to ask in a mocking way, sarcastically, that Man Rahman, who is this Rahman? So in answer to that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this beautiful surah, Ar-Rahman. And then Allah Ta'ala explains so many bounties. But the first thing Allah Ta'ala says, Ar-Rahman, علم القرآن. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that being who has taught the Quran. So obviously Allah ta'ala sent the Quran Sharif via Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam and via other mediums to Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And some ayat were directly given to Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then conveyed the Quran Sharif to the Ummah. This Quran Sharif is Allah Ta'ala's Quran, Allah Ta'ala's words. So when Allah Ta'ala has revealed a surah in which He is mentioning numerous bounties, bounties that we enjoy in the dunya also, bounties that we will enjoy in the akhirat also. But the first thing Allah Ta'ala speaks about is Allama al-Qur'an, that Allah Ta'ala has taught the Qur'an. And by bringing Ar-Rahman first, Allah Ta'ala is telling us that it is out of my mercy that I have taught you the Qur'an. One is that there is no compulsion upon Allah Ta'ala to do anything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only out of His mercy has taught us the Qur'an. Allah forgive us. But when we hear about laws in our deen, these laws come from where? These laws are found in the Quran Sharif. The Ahadith Mubarakah is an explanation of the Quran Sharif. The Fuqaha, the Muhaddithin, or whatever they have mentioned, the source, the main thing is from the Quran. This is why Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was now in the last days of his Mubarak life. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was extremely ill. The Sahaba radiallahu anhu, out of their love, they're so used to learning things from Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So they sitting around, that maybe Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will say something. Maybe Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will come and have one small program with us. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looking at them, looking at their enthusiasm. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, okay, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is very weak, very, very weak. Not well at all. But he said, okay, bring one paper, one pen, and I'll dictate a few things, and that will be sufficient for you. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, having that close relationship with Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he realized that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is only doing this out of love, out of compassion for the Ummah. But he also understands that, see, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is in no condition to do this now. He's not well. He's in no condition to do this. So Umar radiallahu anhu says to the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, don't think pen, paper, and all that. And then he said, Hasbuna kitabullah. Sufficient for us is the book of Allah. And Allah Ta'ala has given His kitab. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has conveyed the message of Allah Ta'ala. This is sufficient for us. And with regards to Umar radiallahu anhu, comes in the riwaya, Sahaba Ramadan described, you see, he was, if you wanted to restrain Umar radiallahu anhu, then you just have to tell him something that came in the Quran Sharif. Any situation he was faced with, if somebody gave him an ayat of the Quran, that was it. He would stop at that point. This is what Allah Ta'ala has said. This is what has come in the Quran Sharif. This is what Allah Ta'ala has said. So can anybody then still speak something? If Allah Ta'ala has said this, can anybody else now say anything? So our situation has become such, we have become so weak, Allah Ta'ala forgive us, that when we hear of laws of Allah Ta'ala, and Allah forgive us, Allah forgive us, we feel our life is becoming difficult. Our life is becoming difficult. Whereas these laws that Allah Ta'ala is giving us in the Quran Sharif, which is our whole deen, Allah Ta'ala is giving us out of mercy. But we are so immature in our deen, like a small child. Small children, if it's cold outside and the child is not feeling too well, the child wants to run and go play outside. And the mother has to say to the child, no, you can't. The father has to say, no, you can't. Now what the child thinks, making my life difficult. Now our intelligence when it comes to our deen is gone to that level. Those small little children. That we cannot appreciate that whatever law Allah Ta'ala is giving me is for my good. Now the small children, they can be excused because they are nadan, they are little children. They do not understand. But now, we as adults, if we are not understanding, we are not understanding that these laws are for us, it is a mercy from Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala wants to make our life simple. Forget the akhirah. The akhirah that is still to come, the rewards we can't even imagine. But even our worldly life will become beautiful. Our worldly life also, there will be sukoon, there will be rahat, there will be minan, there will be... We'll even enjoy a wonderful worldly life also, if we follow the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah Ta'ala says, Ar-Rahman, Allam al-Qur'an. Before Allah Ta'ala speaks about any other bounty, Allah Ta'ala speaks about the Qur'an. Because this is man's objective in life. Man's objective in life is he has to study the Qur'an. He has to study what Allah Ta'ala wants of him. This is his objective in life. How do we learn this from another ayat in the Qur'an? Allah Ta'ala says that I have not created jinnat and insan except for my worship. How are we going to worship Allah? We will have to learn it from the Quran. So after Allah Ta'ala speaks about the Quran, then Allah Ta'ala says, Khalaq al-insan. Khalaq al-insan, but Allah has created insan. Showing the importance of Quran in this insan's life. And then Allah Ta'ala says, عَلَّمَهُ الْبَيَانِ. That Allah Ta'ala has taught man how to express himself. In other words, Allah Ta'ala has given man intellect. Allah Ta'ala has given man the power of speech. Why? So he can understand the Quran. There are many other bounties, necessities of life. Insan needs a shelter. Insan needs clothing. Insan needs food. These are necessities of life. But these ni'mats, which Allah Ta'ala blesses us with, each person is blessed to a different degree. That is the distribution of Allah Ta'ala and the wish of Allah Ta'ala. And nobody can question the distribution of Allah's answer. So Allah Ta'ala blesses us with these bounties. But Allah Ta'ala doesn't mention these bounties first. Allah Ta'ala speaks about this bayan first. Why? Because those bounties, a shelter, food, etc. We share those bounties with all the other makhluk of Allah. The animals also share in those bounties. Birds also, they share in those bounties. Fish also, they share in those bounties. All the makhluk of Allah, they also share in those bounties. They also need something to eat. They also need a shelter. So that we are equal with all the other animals also. But when it comes to this, to understand the Quran Sharif, to understand what makes Allah Ta'ala happy and what displeases Allah Ta'ala, what I need to do to be in the obedience of Allah Ta'ala and what will cause the disobedience of Allah Ta'ala, that is exclusive to insan and jinnah. That is exclusive to insan and jinnah. And that is the whole objective of our life. To learn what Allah Ta'ala wants of me and to live my life accordingly. Every other effort of deen, every effort of deen is in order to bring about this. Whether it is tabligh, whether it is tasawuf, whether it is ta'ani. The person goes to the darul to study to become an alim. Why is he studying to become an alim? Is it so that he can find employment somewhere and earn a living? That's not the maqsad. That's not the objective. He is going to go and study the deen of Allah Ta'ala so that he understands what Allah Ta'ala wants of him. Now he can educate the ummah what Allah Ta'ala wants of them. A person goes in jama'at, why is he going in jama'at? He's going out in tabligh, he's going out in jama'at. What is the reason that he's going in jama'at? Is to bring the same deen in his life. If a person is going 40 days every year or 4 months every year, he's doing his 3 days every month, he's doing his 2.5 hours every day, he's doing his ingash, doing his outgash, he's going for shabduzati. But deen is not coming in his life. Then something is amiss. According to his satis, you see, he's a worker. He's a worker, he's parban. But if deen is not coming in his life, then something is wrong. The object of going out in tabligh is not to do the work. It's to bring deen in the life. The same with the soul. A person takes bay'at to a sheikh. So what? Then what? Do not have to bay'at. My Hazrat, my Hazrat, my Hazrat. Your Hazrat, your Hazrat, be connected to the Hazrat, not going to put you in Jannah. Deen has to come in my life. So if I've taken bay'at to the Shaykh, what's the objective now? The Shaykh, now how he's living his life, am I making my life like that? What he's teaching me, am I following? Or I just took one way as for barakat. Today, Allah master, 40-50% of people who take bayah, they're having marital problems. He had one affair somewhere, or he did something wrong somewhere, or he's causing it. He didn't disclose to his wife that the business is in, you know, going down. He did some silly deal somewhere. Something he caused it somewhere. So now when they came to find out, you won't have, I'm changing my life. I'm changing my life. So now to prove to them he's changing his life, he will take back to a chair. I'm telling you what's happening. He will take back to a chair, his parents know. He's changing his life now. He goes for majlis, and his wife knows he's going for majlis, As soon as the dust settles, the temperature's all gone down, things have gone right, little bit, he took them for an holiday somewhere and came back. Then he forgot about me for that reason. Finish, it's over. Until the next problem. And the next problem takes place, then he looks for his chef's number again. So they use the chef like zambak or something. When you get burned, you get on cut, something, now look for the chef. And you come to the rescue and sort some problems out. But deen is not coming in our life. So everything, whether it's studying deen, whether it's tabligh, whether it's the soul, it all just become like rituals in our life. But I'm not making those serious changes. I'm not making those serious changes that, you know what, my life has to come on Sirat-e Mustaqim. Shariat has to come into my life. Sunnah has to come into my life. Take today one very, very common sickness. Common sickness. And why I'm speaking about this particular weakness is that our Hazrat Muhammad Rasulullah, he used to mention that, you know, there are certain gunas. Guna is guna, every guna is bad. But there are certain sins. A person, he is advertising to the world. With, you know, like what you say, you know, with an audacity, you know, he's advertising. You know what? I'm a rebel. I'm a rebel to Allah. As it used to say, certain gunas. The example I used to give that time, because that time, people were putting these dishes, you know, not the one in the kitchen, the one on the roof, to catch all the TV, movie channels and TV channels and all that. So people used to put this thing on the roof. After that, when the radio station came about, then they had to put their some name on it, so people know that this is not there. One for the Mnet, it is for some radio station. I'm not saying that the radio station also is fine. Today there's a lot of gunas in the radio station. But that is a separate topic. But here what we are talking about, Hazrat said, that a person takes that dish and puts it on his roof. Now one is a person committing a guna in a moment of weakness, he commits some sin. Quietly commented his guna between him and Allah Ta'ala, after that he feels bad too. But here the person is taking the dish and putting it on his roof. What is he saying when he's putting the dish on his roof? I don't care. I'm a rebel. I'm advertising. I break Allah's command. If you don't like it, your problem. I'll advertise it. That's exactly what the person is doing when he puts the dish on his roof. As a mu'min, as a believer, how can we have so much of courage to do that? So this, what I'm going to mention next, is also something like that. Today, across the board, whether it's youngsters, whether it's old people, whatever, the way we cut in our hair, where we are shaving or cutting very short the sides and leaving the top long. It's become like a common thing. One ustad is teaching hips, he's telling me now, what must I do? What must I do with the students coming next? Students are coming for hips class, they're coming next. Now, this particular thing to cut the hair, shave, and leave the top down and all that. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke about it. It's something that is prohibited in our deen. But our child will do it in front of us. We're seeing him all the time. He's walking everywhere, he's going with that hair. And he's proud with that hair. Isn't that also showing that I'm a rebel to another? I have no sharm. I'm not ashamed that I'm committing this guna openly in front of everybody. The other thing Hazrat Rahmatullah used to say, that certain guna, a person commits the guna for that time. But there are some gunas that if a person does it, he is 24 hours in that guna. So this hairstyle like this, if the person is sleeping also is getting guna. 24 hours a day he is in sin. Now that is just one, it's one thing. We need to look into our lives. I must look into my life. You must look into your life. That what gunas are in my life? What is there that I'm displeasing Allah Ta'ala? I'm displeasing Allah Ta'ala. I need to change it. I need to change it. I need to make tawbah. I need to make istighfar. I need to put myself right. Justifying sins and giving ourselves a tap on the back all the time. No, other people are worse, other people are worse. That's not going to help us. Today, the situation has become such that sometimes our attitude towards deen and towards making amar bil ma'ruf nahi an munkar has become like this. And you know what? At least he's doing that. Don't tell him anything. He may just get offended. He won't even do this. Why have we reached that point? Because we have mixed things up. Allah Ta'ala tells us in the Quran Sharif, Ya ayyuhan nas, antumul fuqara. That, O mankind, you are in need. Wallahu huwa al-ghaniyyul hamid. Allah Ta'ala is the one who is independent. Allah is the one who is independent. Each one of us, we are dependent on Allah Ta'ala. But we have understood it oppositely. We think we independent. And we treat our deen like as if to say, the deen is dependent on me. So I'll give whatever scraps I want to give to my deen. The deen must appreciate what I am doing. So even if you see somebody doing something wrong, keep quiet because you would tell him something. He'll get very upset. Then he'll stop coming masjid too. The other day I was in one musalla. I'm reading namaz behind a person. The person is wearing such a tight trousers. Such a tight trousers, you think it's going to bust. So tight it is. Right? When he is going down in sajda, his whole back is opening. No topi. And this qaza. Half the hair is shaved and the top is long. The sides are all shaved and the top is long. Now, after namaz, now you're thinking 20 times. Do I tell this person anything? Say, no, you know, at least he's coming for namaz. If I'm going to tell him something, he may stop coming for namaz too. So, khamosh. Keep quiet. Hazrat Imam Musulla Rahmatullahi, in his zaman, he mentioned, that in today's times, most of the time you have to just keep quiet. Otherwise you bring your own embarrassment. Because you go to teach somebody something about deen, he wants to start fighting with you. He wants to start arguing with you. Whereas, if you look at Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we look at Sahaba radiallahu anhu, they had everything in their life. It is mentioned that Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was speaking about Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu. Whichever Sahabi it was, so Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, please, he used to read Tahajjud. Now he stopped. He used to read Tahajjud, now he stopped. He may have missed one of these. So when he heard that, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said this about me, he never missed another Tahajjud his whole life. Now he didn't say, when he heard, he didn't say, Tahajjud is nafal. It's not a guna if I don't read. What about everything else that I'm doing? And neither did Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say that no, he's doing everything else. So now this one thing, now don't tell him, it's not he get offended or something. No. The one thing which was a nafal thing which is not doing, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought that to his attention also. Umar radiallahu anhu, he sees a person in his pants beneath his ankle at the time when he's passing away also. Same time he reprimands him, pick up your pants. And the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, they appreciated it because they understood that the objective in my life is my deen. The objective has become everything else. Deen is something by the way, Jannat is something abstract. So we don't take that part of our life seriously. Whatever little bit of deen is there in my life, right, I'm quite content with that. I don't have to make any more improvements on that. The only thing I'm looking at is who's worse than me, so I feel good about myself. But how are we going to progress if we're going to have that type of mindset? So, being involved in a work of deen is not sufficient. It is a good thing. We must not leave it. But it's not sufficient. How much of deen is coming in my life? That is the big question. That is a big question now. That how much am I changing? How much of deen is coming into me? Always mentions it. He said, very easy outside to have good akhlaq. Outside, smiling with everybody, very tolerant with everybody, very courteous with everybody. What is our situation at home? How do we behave at home? So that I need to ask myself, you need to ask yourself. The other day I mentioned this thing. We conclude on this. This to give us, you know, an example. Now it's coming towards the holiday. And a lot of people are going to Umrah. Everywhere you hear somebody is going to Umrah, somebody is going to Umrah. No, December, Kaiser, sky high, going away now. All are asking for early leave from Madrasa. Some couple of days early, come back one week late or something, wait for Umrah, wait for Umrah. And those who see others going for Umrah, so they'll be so envious of them. Envious. Umrah, give my salam. Make dua for me and wait inside. Envious. So the person is going for Umrah. Now his agent books him in one hotel and they tell him what bed and breakfast. The hotel is giving breakfast. Oh, it's Ramadan time. The person is going last 10 days. It costs so much of money. No, they give sehri, that particular hotel, top sehri. Book that hotel and get sehri. The same person, when he's going out in the tabligh, he's sitting on the floor. At home also, he's sitting on the floor. He's going to the khanka, he went to sit on the floor. At home, he told the family, they take all this table and everything out, he sit on the floor. Now we move from Madinah Munawwarah. Dosto یہ ہے شہر مدینہ جس سے اسلام پھیلا جا رہا ہے. All that sunnah that we learn, now we go to Medina Munawwara. But now we need to go for breakfast because we paid for this breakfast. And it's a top breakfast. So now we go sit on table and chair to have the breakfast. When we came to Medina Munawwara, are we getting closer to Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or we distancing ourselves? As Rahmatullah used to say, a person can be standing right there in front of the Roza Mubarak, but he is very far from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And a person, he can be very, very far. Maybe he never went to Medina Munawwara even once in his life, but he is very close to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So a person can be right there, but he got no sunnah in his life. He is very far away. He is very far away. A person can be far away, but he's got sunnahs in his life. He is very close to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So now we go for Umrah, which is a spiritual journey. It's supposed to get a recharge, everything. But we're going right there, and then we're forgetting all our etiquettes, we're forgetting our sunnahs, things that we're doing back at home. When we go there, we're supposed to be increasing. But even what we're doing at home, that too is lost. Our dealings, everything goes off. One lady is in the cloak shop. She is negotiating. She is not there with the mahram. At home, you don't allow your wife to go alone. There, you are allowing your wife to pray, right? Because we in Makkah, in Medina, she can parade on her own. She's talking to a male shopkeeper in Medina Munawwara, in Makkah Mukarrama, and she's negotiating. And the person is not agreeing with what she's saying. She just took out the money, put it there, you take that much, and she's walking and going. Now, is that a transaction? Is that transaction valid? She is very happy she got a bargain. She came all the way from home to Medina Munawwara to come and get guna. I'm not talking about the other filth that takes place. I'm talking about the day-to-day things that we ourselves get involved in, the wrongs that we get involved in. Go and sit around in the haram and we think we own the place because we're from South Africa. Your friend comes, you make place for him. Somebody else comes that you don't know from another country, he came and sit around there, and then put your legs out a little bit more. And you want look. And he's telling you what I'm doing. He got a style. Then you're very upset. But at home, you're going knocking on everybody's door and telling them to come for namaz. Here, people are coming for namaz, you're getting upset. You don't want to make place to give that person space. The person is coming into the house of Allah. Here at home, you're screaming. People not coming for namaz, not coming for namaz. There they're coming, so he's tramping my style. So we go right there sometime. And we forget what's our maqsad and our objective in life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give me first tawfiq. Allah ta'ala, give me tawfiq. It's easy to talk about Ghazza. To talk about Ghazza, and everybody wants to hear about Ghazza. But can we do anything about Ghazza? But what we supposed to do in our life, what we supposed to sort of, that we don't want to talk about. That we don't want to look deep and see what I need to sort out, what I need to do. Allah Ta'ala alleviate their pain, their suffering around the globe, wherever people are suffering different situations. Sometimes we don't know whether they better off or we better off. Allah knows. So their situation that they're going through is making them closer to Allah Ta'ala. And our situation that we are going through is distancing us from Allah Ta'ala. Then wallahi, they are better off. We are in a worse situation. Somebody should be crying for us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give me first tawfiq, Allah give me tawfiq, Allah ta'ala grant ayyuhumma tawfiq. Give us all tawfiq to come on to Sirat al-Mustaqeem, to bring Sharia and Sunnah into our life, and to be mindful of the ahkam, the laws of Allah ta'ala. Our situation must become such that we must make kasrat al-zikr tamam al-ta'am. Make zikrullah in abundance, and be perpetually in the obedience of Allah Ta'ala. وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار اللهم اهدنا واهدنا واجعلنا سببا لمن اهتدى اللهم يا مصرف القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على طاعتك اللهم يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر المسلمين في فلسطين وفي السودان وفي الشام وفي كل مكان يا رب العالمين اللهم انصر إخواننا المجاهدين في أرض الإسلام اللهم اشف مرضانا ومرضى المسلمين اللهم ارحم موتانا وموتى المسلمين اللهم إنا نسألك رضاك والجنة ونعوذ بك من سخطك والنار اللهم إنا نسألك الرضا بالقضاء ونسألك برد العيش بعد الموت ونسألك لذة النظر إلى وجهك والشوق إلى لقائك اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من كل شر استعاذ منه نبيك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله برحمتك.